Editorial of the Socialist issue 1155 sleaze, and pay a toxic mix for Torres is anybody in charge at number 10. This was the headline in the normally conservative supporting right-wing Daily Mail as Tory MP Owen Paterson resigned after Boris Johnson's latest U-turn. Paterson faced a 30-day parliamentary suspension after the Standards Committee found him guilty of taking £100,000 from two companies for lobbying. Johnson's response was to propose a new alternative committee that would be chaired by his wife's former boss, with an inbuilt Tory majority. Johnson won the vote, after allegedly threatening to withhold funding from areas represented by Tory MPs, if they voted against. But his 79-strong majority was slashed to just 18. It has been reported that furious Tory MPs were going into the voting lobbies in tears. But rather than some principled objection, this has far more to do with realization of the storm of outrage to come. The result is that instead of one of Boris's mates having a month out of the Commons, a Tory MP is forced out, and Johnson's government has become mired in a row over sleaze. Some capitalist commentators have claimed that Johnson was motivated by the fact that he is next in line for an investigation by the Standards watchdog over the extravagant refurbishment of his Downing Street flat, allegedly to the tune of £200,000. This would be the fourth time in the last 3 years that he was under scrutiny, more than any other MP. This is entirely possible. But his actions were also a reflection of the arrogant overconfidence of the Tory government, and Johnson personally, unchallenged as they are by Starmer's New Labour. Before the recent spending review, Labour's Blairite shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves opposed tax rises, not just to people, but to business too. Cost of living crisis. Even now, the Tories may feel they can ride out what they hope will be seen by ordinary people as parliamentary intrigue. But what has added dynamite to these events is the deepening cost of living crisis facing workers and their families, and some from middle-class backgrounds. This is behind the Tory splits that have come back to the surface, reflecting the frustration and suspicion of the capitalist establishment who, in the main, never wanted Johnson as their prime minister and have struggled to control him. Margaret Thatcher thought that she'd dealt with the opposition of Neil Kinnock's Labour and the union leaders after the defeat of the miners' strike, but complacently slumbered into the poll tax, which ultimately brought her down after Militant, the predecessor of the Socialist Party, played the leading role in organising a mass non-payment campaign involving 18 million people. Similarly, Johnson's sleazy government, overriding rules that don't suit, can face the fury of millions of workers. The events of the last few days are a continuation of decades of parliamentary sleaze, involving not just the Tories, but the other pro-capitalist parties too. But when workers are facing fuel increases of 10p a litre in 1 week, Johnson's bumbling defense of more Tory sleaze isn't so amusing. We are seeing a rising tide of strikes by workers, either facing down the brutal attacks like fire and rehire, or demanding pay rises to keep their heads above the water of price rises. Many of these disputes are resulting in significant victories, some before action is taken, such as the 17% pay increase by Liverpool tanker drivers. The excellent 53% turnout by UKIP members in higher education means that significant industrial action to defend their pension rights is on the agenda, see page 12. It shows that the ballot for strike action and local government against the miserly 1.75% pay rise, effectively a cut as real inflation rises towards 5%, can also be won, as well as the fully justified 15% pay claim for NHS workers, fighting to win both statutory and indicative ballots. With a decisive lead from the union leadership, a public sector-wide strike over pay could be a real possibility. The somersaults and U-turns this week and previously show that, despite his populism, Johnson's government, like all Tory governments, puts the boss's profits before the interests of workers. And a government led by Starmer's Labour Party would do no different. The fight in the workplaces must be stepped up, along with the struggle to build a new mass political alternative that can take on the Tories, by fighting on a socialist program that offers a decent future to workers,